Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Alrighty, so for our listeners here today, we have two wonderful, wonderful guests that we are very, very excited to share with y'all. We have Nicole and Caleb Schlieff here from Schlieff Tropicals that are joining us. Hello, Nicole and Caleb.
Ooh, hi.
We're so excited to be here.
We're so excited to talk to you guys today.
Thank you so much for joining us. And so, you know, we always like to start off by getting our listeners to know you. Of course, you all have been around in the plant space for such a long time. So they should know you. But just in case, would love to know, you know, kind of how you got into plants and who's Schlieff Tropicals.
Thanks. So we have been married for about 20 years and Caleb was a landscaper for a large portion of our marriage. He's always really been into plants and into outdoor plants and gardens. He went through a whole episode of bonsai for a while.
Oh, awesome.
And he's always been really big into plants. And then like right before the pandemic, we got into succulents and it was like a really fun hobby that we could do together as a married couple where we could go and find these cool plants at local nurseries without having to spend a whole ton of money.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as an activity, just building our relationship. It was a lot of fun to collect the new species and stuff.
Yeah, and then like maybe a year or so after that, we were noticing that succulents, while they're super fun and colorful and a bunch of different things to see, they don't grow very fast. We're kind of impatient people. True. So we were like, what can we do to kind of enjoy this a little bit more? So we started looking into houseplants and started collecting like one or two. And then the pandemic hit and everything kind of shut down. And we're like, okay, well, what can we do with all this extra time?
Yeah.
Let's get more. I think that's a story probably common to a lot of people.
So, I think a lot of people follow the similar paths, but we plunged wholeheartedly into it and we enjoyed it so much. We're like, we can't help but turn this into a business. We have to do it.
Yeah. We had a bunch of succulents and we're like, okay, well, you know, we have a family, we have three kids. We're like, we can't spend tons of extra money on these houseplants that we want. So how can we do this? And we decided one day we would hold a sale on our patio. And we would sell all the succulents we had, and we would try to use that money to fund our houseplant hobby. And we just kind of use the same money over and over. And it was like way more successful than we anticipated. I think at that time, everybody was really, you know, sick of being stuck home and huge turnout from the community at our house.
Yeah, we were surprised. We couldn't believe how well we did. We were like, wow. This is unignorable.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, well, I guess this is something more. We can keep doing this to help our hobby. I don't know that we ever thought it would be a full-blown business. I thought we just thought it would, you know, be a way to fund the hobby that we enjoyed. But then as time went on, we were like, yeah, this is something we really need to take seriously because we're passionate about it and we would like to see it grow and benefit our family.
Yeah. And if you enjoy it, it feels less like work. In a
exactly.
sense, yeah.
We started getting involved with some local communities and we started seeing the potential for this to turn into a business. And it pretty quickly evolved into something we were taking pretty seriously and starting to grow more plants than, you know, than a home plant enthusiast would grow.
We got very lucky in a local community of really fantastic plant people. You know, we're close by to a lot of well-known plant sellers and well-known Hoya people and stuff like that. And there was a great local group that would do events around the area that we were able to participate in and start to meet a lot of people. And that really helped us grow, I think.
Yeah, that got us started.
That is awesome. I absolutely love that story. The fact that it started with the two of you and just wanting to do something fun together. And now it's like a full-blown business and you all are doing amazing. Like, what a success story. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I just want to know real quick, do both of you guys have a green thumb?
No. No. Yeah, I want to. I really do. Definitely learned a lot since we started the hobby, but it's not natural for the way it is for Caleb.
Yeah.
He's done it for so long. He sees things that I just, might not notice.
I've grown so many different varieties of plants between the bonsais and the gardens that I've grown in the backyard, and growing cannabis for a short time. It just there's so many different experiences we've had with growing different plants. We also were into saltwater fish tanks for a time that taught us a lot about water chemistry and things like that. So there's a lot of those kind of things that have aided in this, that have helped us along the way. Those things we already knew.
Knowledge bases that we had.
Yeah. It helped us the way when we started this plant business. It was like, okay, well, the plant knowledge I already have applies here. And these plants are doing really well with some of the tricks and tips that I know from other types of gardening. So it just sort of led to success. And we've been really very fortunate. The community has been huge. Palm Street community is a major contributor to our success.
I love
wow.
Yeah, we originally got into like aeroids when we started. Yeah. And that was a lot of fun. The Calatheas, we did a lot of originally.
I was going to ask, because everyone has a start when they get into tropicals. You know, you're either tropicals. Like the aeroid, or you go into Hoya, or there's always something that gets you started there. So I was curious.
Yeah, I got a red anthurium, one of those like Home Depot.
The painted ones are really.
And I found a brown one, a chocolate one. And I was like, oh, now I have two of them. This is amazing. I was keeping a lot of them. My tail didn't help me.
Yeah.
And then I think you got a Puba Calyx first.
Oh, man. It was a slippery slope after that. Yeah. I was hooked on that. It took some convincing. I don't know if you've heard, but it took some convincing to get Nicole into the Hoyas.
Yeah. I was like, I don't understand. They all look the same to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why are you doing this?
Gasp.
Yeah. To be fair, I have been there. I am a big Hoya person now. That's all I grow. But I remember when Jesse and I first got into plants, we, you know, collected aeroids first. And then she was like, I think I'm going to get into Hoya. And my exact response was, why would you do that? They look so boring. But I totally have eaten my words now. So
our aeroid collection got kind of crazy. We had these big, huge aeroids. Caleb, you know, is a successful, good grower. So these things got massive. And I was like, well, you know what would fit in these spots in between is Hoya. They're small. Small when you start because you see them and they're little, but they get big.
Yeah, and real big.
Yeah. So I touched a Hoya globulosa for the first time, and it was fuzzy on the back, and I was like,
"Yes,
sold."
Yes, the tactile part of the Hoya is some of my favorite, like any plants, I guess. Just that. Oh, I love the feeling.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's the hook that gets you in, and then you're on that slippery slope. It's easy to accumulate acquire many. Once you start buying pubescent Hoyas, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah. So many Thomsonii, many Lee.
And then it just keeps on going from there. And then you're like, wait, there's small leaves. Wait, there's big leaves. Wait, there. Yeah. You just keep on spiraling and spiraling. Totally get it.
We both have that personality that we need to collect all of the thing that we're suddenly obsessed with, which is probably not the safest thing in a plant hobby, but it's definitely...
Yes, it's led to the collection that we have, which in essence has led to the business that we have. The business that we have is we're cutting plants that we own, and we're making our product here in-house. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we're doing that's a little bit unique from what a lot of other sellers and growers are doing. But it is something that we've taken from the start as our business model is we make our product. And so we have our mother plants, and we take our cuttings, and we root them, and we wait patiently for them to be ready. But that step of making all of our product 100%, it maximizes profit margin. I feel like that's a really good business model. That's worked well for us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess along with that, how has your business evolved since the beginning?
So originally we did get into the tropicals. We were heavy into the calatheas and alocasias and philodendrons for a long time. And we thankfully, I think, were forward thinking enough that we started to see some of the trends that were coming down the line in the business, you know, side of here, where the prices were coming down and things were becoming more accessible, and the competition was just becoming a lot more fierce, and that a lot of people could sell these plants. And we were like, well, you know, we love these Hoyas so much. They, you know, our personal collections of those had grown so much. So we were like, why are we focusing so much on plants here that we don't maybe enjoy as much growing ourselves? We think that, you know, a lot of what sells our plants to our customer is our passion for the plant and how we show them our enthusiasm for it.
Right.
And I think we started to feel really drawn to selling Hoyas more. So we did eventually say, okay, I think it's time to stop with that. For several years, we did participate in our local farmers market here in our city every week. And it was a great venue for us because we got to meet a lot of our local community and get plants out to people who were never plant people to start with. You know, they would come there for some other reason entirely, for, you know, honey or flowers or fruits and vegetables. And they would see our table full of these odd plants they'd never seen before. And it would help them find a passion for plants as well.
Yeah. We found a lot of people that rare plants even existed.
Yeah.
Converting one person at a time.
That's right.
Absolutely. But, you know, we decided that, okay, you know, Hoyas didn't have that kind of draw, right? You don't see them from across the room and have a big giant leaf. Some of you do, but
yeah.
They didn't do as well at that market. And we were like, you know, I think we'd rather just find a way to focus on this thing that we're really passionate about. And so we really stopped selling, I think about 2 years ago, we stopped selling all tropicals and just moved on to trying to grow the business.
That was about, we began shipping all of our plants too. So we were doing a lot more shipping, selling on purges and things like that. And we were doing a lot more shipping of plants. So we were getting a lot more confidence about shipping nationally. That gave us the confidence to go away from a local market where people could carry the things away. And then it's their problem to take it home safely, to now we're shipping. So it's our problem to get it to them safely.
Mm. Yeah. And you can just sit in your pajamas whenever you want. Or no pajamas. Anyway,
right.
I wanted to go back. You guys have mentioned your local area. Where is your local area? Michigan.
We're just north of Michigan.
Okay, so like the base of the thumb of the mitten area.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of great local sellers here. We're just north of Rare Plant Fairy, Yaya's Plant Shop, one of the big sellers on Palm Street.
Wow.
This great friend of. She came to our original patio sale and we became friends way back when.
Oh, yeah, that's so sweet.
Isn't that so nice to like meet people? Like, 'cause that's how the three of us met each other, was through plants. And so it's so, yeah, it's just so special. And I feel like we've all just made like lifelong friendships because of this beautiful hobby.
You could say, hey, we want to compete with each other, or hey, let's be partners in this. Mm-hmm. Let's work together to be a community here of plant sellers. I think that's the better way.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially because, you know, I feel like, I mean, you mentioned the community so many times, but the plant community, there's something so special about the people that are in this community and their willingness to help and share. And there's something really, really beautiful about it. Like, I've been a part of a lot of different hobbies and a lot of different communities, and not saying that those communities aren't great, but plant community has always just been something extra special. And every person that, you know, we speak with holds that same sentiment. And so it's beautiful that, you know, you guys feel that same thing too.
Yeah, Caleb used to do landscaping and contracting. And he would say that, you know, whenever he had to show up at somebody's house, it was generally one of their worst days, right? Their toilet broke, roof was caved in.
Yeah.
That's never the thing in plant community, right? It's always a good day if you're getting a plant.
Right.
So everyone's happy. And it makes a difference in how you get to interact with people when you're seeing them on their passion.
Do you have like any obstacles or, you know, anything that the two of you had to overcome, like as you were doing this business?
Physically, you know, we grow in our home. So that was challenging to start with, finding a way to make this work in our home with our children and still feasible.
Yeah.
The reason it was a good decision for us was because I work outside of the home. And this left Caleb with the ability to be home with the kids when they needed him, but still running a business that was successful for us. So I think we did end up about 2 years ago investing heavily in redoing our garage. So we converted our garage into a grow space, and that's where we grow everything now. So that was a big physical project to take on. I think maybe
that was a big hurdle.
Yeah.
definitely
getting. Yeah, that's so cool.
Getting the heat. We put in a natural gas heater out there, and so getting everything drywalled and everything situated and ready to go, that made a big impact for the business. But that was definitely a hurdle to get over.
Add some levity, but is there a TV out there? Because that sounds like the best man cave that I could think of.
No, I was just thinking about that the other day. Out there planting, and I'm like, you know, I would really like to be able to just watch the news while I'm out there. Yeah.
Or maybe like not the news and something else more uplifting. But no, yes, watch something.
It'd be interesting though if you watched something like the news, if that would affect the growth of the Hoyas. Ooh. Or if you watch something like classical Bob Ross or something and they're like popping off even more.
I'm pretty sure my Hoyas love I do jam. Because they're going frequently. So that helps me keep motivated and keep me moving while I'm doing repotting and things like that. Those plant chores that we all have to do. A lot of watering.
Mm-hmm. So we're all there. That's awesome. But yeah, so it sounds like, you know, the two of you really focus on those plants that you're enjoying and you're excited to share with other people, which I think is awesome. That's kind of what, you know, you're really focusing on growing for your store. How is it that you usually decide like what plants you want to sell like each season? Or is there some kind of rhyme or reason behind that? Or how does that usually work for you guys logistically?
One of our values as a business has always been that we want to sell people plants that they're going to be successful in growing. Yeah. That from a newbie to someone who's very experienced, that no matter the plant we sell them, that they will go home and have a great experience with that plant, that it will grow quickly for them. Because, you know, if they have that experience, they're going to want to grow more plants and they're going to come back to us because they had such a good experience growing that plant.
Absolutely.
So we tend to grow Hoya that we think are resilient, so, and
sturdy, robust. Some of the tough guys.
Yeah.
That I do a little bit of torture testing around here to make sure that they are up to the challenge.
And love it.
We temper the Hoyas around here. They don't get humidifiers and all that going on. They have to live a challenging life in 40% ambient humidity.
And that's probably,
I don't think that's terrible. Yeah. But
compared out there.
To be fair, they're super hyper pampered is what I'm saying. So that when they get into most people's homes, they're still going to perform. They're not going to slouch when they get into that environment. They're not going to be like, wait a minute. This isn't a greenhouse anymore. I'm not too happy with it.
Yeah, that's true. I never really thought about that little portion of it. Like they're already kind of like tried and tested. Like, as soon as you said the humidity, I looked over at my hygrometer and it's 32%. So it's pretty close. Like, you know.
Yeah,
I find that to be an acceptable range. As long as your roots are moist, then the leaves don't need to be that humid, right? In most cases.
Yeah.
So we thought what we grow, it tends to lean in that direction.
Yeah.
But then it's kind of mixed in with the things that we just generally get obsessed with, right? Like we will go through phases where we're super into Lacanosas or super into, you know,
Finlaysonis
or something else. And then we'll kind of take over what we're buying up and trying to grow out.
Yeah.
And then that ends up being what we're selling because they get so big, we have to cut them basically.
Yeah. I would say that I would add to that, that there is a certain amount of selection, that there are some species we buy that don't ever make the market. They're just too difficult. They're too tricky. Either they didn't make it for me or I don't feel like they're going to make it for the customer. That's something I'm not going to push too hard to try to bring to market because again, I want to bring those really excellent performers that people are going to have that success story. And for me, I'd rather focus on those species and let other people chase the unicorn and try and get those really expensive, super hard to grow species. That's somebody else's job. For us, we'd prefer to stick to that middle rung of the ladder and do that well. We send plants out that are extra large size cups that have extra established roots that are actively growing right now. And I think that has a pretty high success rate.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, now, because I feel like the Hoya community has diversified so much where there's everybody in different levels. There's so many new beginners that are now hitting the Hoya market. Like we hear from new Hoya people all the time. And they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited to listen to this because I just got into Hoya, which is super exciting. And then they're like those middle people. And then there's the people who have been doing it for a really long time. But we always say like, there's a Hoya out there for everybody. And a lot of times, you know, we also hear from people saying, well, like, what's the best Hoya to get? Like, what's the sturdiest Hoya? And I think it's awesome that you all are focusing on that area of we want to get something out to people that is going to do really well and they can enjoy for a really long time. And it's not going to bring more grief to their life because it's, you know, really difficult or, you know, it's not doing well or anything like that. And so I think it's awesome that you focus on those things. That's great.
Yeah. We've heard so many cool stories about people having a Carnosa for 30 years. They've got this beautiful heirloom Carnosa that has brought them joy and blooms for 25, 30 years. They've had this plant. Be responsible for plant. That's a cherished family heirloom, not that flash in the pan. You had it for 10 minutes and it died almost immediately because you bought something that was just, it's just too hard for you to care for in your environment. Or there's a lot of those kind of sellers that are selling those hard to grow plants.
Not that that's bad.
Yeah, I'm not knocking them.
But I get what you're saying. Cause like I had such a sour taste in my mouth for like succulents. And I know you guys were succulent people first, but everyone's like, oh, they're so easy. They're so easy. And then like, I feel like there's just a lot of succulent misinformation out there. Cause that was like my first plant that I killed consistently. And finally I had a sour taste, but you don't want to send people a Hoya and then have them have that same feeling of like, oh, Hoya just like aren't a plant I can care for if it's one of the trickier ones, you know, and they just don't know.
Act, then they're also a buyer again, but they're also part of the community, right? And then yeah. They add more into their growing experience. They tell people about Hoyas. So I think that just benefits everybody to have them be successful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We want more Hoya people. The more Hoya heads, the better. Yeah. Because that's where it's at with the plants.
So amazing and diverse and such unique species. I just can't get enough of them. And I want people to see the beauty and amazing attributes that we see in them.
Yeah.
Well, we want to hear more about your business. You know, I feel like especially even when Hoya were getting like really big, the market was really different and the way that people were selling was really different. And so I'm sure a lot of that has changed for you all. And I know that Palm Street has been an amazing platform for your business to grow, but tell us more about that. You know, what are some places that you're selling currently? What more are you exploring and kind of where is the direction that you're growing?
Just over a year ago now, it was a year last week.
Yeah.
Yaya's or Sarah at Yaya's plant shop reached out to us and she was like, hey, I just found this app. They're really new. You know, I think you guys should check them out. I've started selling over there and it's a lot of fun. So we looked at it and I was like, oh my goodness, live sales on camera. That's so different than anything I've tried before. Is we it going to be
one of her shows? Yeah. We saw her on there. And
it's just, you know, it's a different way of doing it. We'd only ever really done purges online in the Hoya groups and stuff like that. But we knew that we had this background at the farmers market where we had, and these live events in our area where we'd gotten really comfortable in front of people talking about our plants, why we felt they were, you know, a good purchase and what we thought was, you know, giving advice and talking people into being successful plant owners. So like, I think we could do this. So we tried out a show and we got a great response. And I was like, I can't believe this. There's this whole little community over here of people. And we just decided, you know, at that time, we were the only Hoya sellers on Palm Street. At wow. And I was like, well, I think we could, you know, really stick around here and help people learn about Hoyas. So we started with one show a week and then decided to add a second show in just after Christmas, I think.
At first, they were hit or miss. They were not always successful shows. They were not always very populist shows. But we were starting to build some reputation in the community and starting to build, you know, an understanding with everybody of who we are and what we do.
Yeah. And I think Palm Street was putting a lot of effort at that time into building the app as well. They kept adding new features, kept reaching out to new buyers, and it just kind of exploded. I think in the last, you know, 6 or 8 months, the app has just gotten so big and it's been so much fun to watch everybody, you know, come in and see new things, see new sellers and stuff like that. But then we've watched our little community in the Hoya world, Hoya side of Palm Street grow as well. And, you know, it's we know people now, like yeah. they know us. And it's,
we have inside just, jokes with our people yeah. that come and see our so fun.
Yeah.
We're tuning, talking with our friends. That's yeah. different from just reaching out to the public. Yeah. So
once a month now we hold what we call a Hoya Hangout. So one evening a month, we just get online on a live show and we actually co-stream, or we invite in our customers to stream in and they can show off their collections. Yeah. And I think it's really cool for the customers to be able to see each other's collections, and, you know, the people who are passionate about their plants get to talk about them. And sometimes you don't always have someone local to do that with. So it's been a whole lot of fun. Definitely yeah. a great.
Well, that's really a beautiful thing to cultivate community, because you're right. Like, you know, there's not always someone near you that you can be with that
yeah.
Shares that kind of passion and joy. And that's such a sweet thing. And also, we're all introverted. Well, I'm not saying all of us. I'm introverted. Most plant people, I feel like, are introverted people.
I agree with that. I think a lot of us are.
Yeah. So it's easy to talk to someone when you have the same passions, because then you can focus on that and not like, what the heck should I say? Like, I don't know what's going on in my brain. You know, I don't know. It's a sweet thing.
It's easy sometimes to hide, not hide, but to stay behind a screen and just tell people about the things that you love. But I think it's also helping some people come out of their shell a little bit and get on camera and show off what they love too. So,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the best part is everybody wants to connect, right? Everyone wants to have that connection. And I think it's amazing that people who are getting plants from you aren't just like a customer. Like, they're getting to that point where it's like, oh, like, you have a friendship. Like, you get to know these people and you get to share so much more than just, you know, I have a plant and you're buying that plant. It's, you know, just cultivating more of that community and closeness and togetherness, which I feel like is one of those amazing things that plants bring into our lives. And so it really is amazing how, you know, things have changed from, I remember in the beginning, it was you hop on Facebook and you share your plant that you're excited about and people comment on it. And then, you know, you see people that you regularly interact with and maybe, you know, you stay connected, but there is something special about being able to have more of like that face-to-face connection. Which it seems like, you know, you're able to have more of, you know, with your customers and now these people who are becoming your friends. So that's amazing to hear.
Yeah. And it's been positive for our business too, and that we can get on there and new people who come into that show or that sale, and they may not be comfortable, that they don't know us, they don't know what they're purchasing. Is it going to get here safely? You know, are these people reputable? And we have this whole base of people there who will, you know, generously compliment our services or our products and really let them make sure they know that they're buying from a trusted seller. And I think that's been a big difference from the Facebook community. Facebook has always been great too, but you're just kind of a name on a page and people don't have a great way to get to know you unless they communicate with you directly. And if you're a new seller on Facebook, it's hard to build a trusted relationship. Mm-hmm. And Palm Street, I think, to do that in a different way.
Yeah, that's, you know, that is important to do that quickly. So I guess speaking of that, so before, like, you guys had this business and you were doing online sales that you said you got more comfortable with, and then Palm Street came along. So is it even as far as like where you're focusing most of your attention, or is Palm Street like taken most of that avenue for your business to thrive?
Yeah, I would say that Palm Street is emptying out my plant trays at the moment.
Nice.
We're doing well there. And honestly, like, we became, what was it, a couple, 3 months ago, we became exclusive sellers on Palm Street. So really, that's the only place that we're selling.
Okay.
And I guess the rules are we can still sell on our website, but honestly, we're not focused on it. We're focusing on our shows and our Palm Street app because it's doing so well for us. In the past, I felt like we really needed to work several different facets and have the market and online sales and plant shows that were specific. We were involved in all of those things, and that helped to support our bottom line. But with the Palm Street, we've been able to support our bottom line without having to pursue those other avenues. So it's been really nice. We can focus on this, focus on building community here, focus on building relationships and giving excellent customer service without having to worry about, oh, I need to cross-reference these plants with this other site that I'm trying to sell on. And it's just, it complicates things so much more.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And it's so much easier when you're just like hitting not easier, but it's nice to hit a niche and that be successful and not have to worry about like, you know, spreading out the risk or whatever. Like it's, I don't know. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, Palm Street takes a lot of the back end work off too. When, you know, before you're selling on Facebook or purges, you have to do a lot of that legwork after yourself with invoicing and getting in contact with people and all that. Palm Street handles all of that. So that cut down on, like I handle all of the business side of things. My background is in business management, so that's what I do for us. And it really cut down on the workload I had to do.
And that is so, I meant to say that at the top of the episode, that is so amazing to have the two different skill sets, because often people don't think about what all goes into something like this and how, you know, growing plants is great and good, but like, that's not all owning a plant business is. Like there is a lot of technical, there's a lot of planning, like all of that. And you guys compliment each other so well. So that's a good thing.
Oh. I appreciate that compliment, but you're absolutely right. Our skill sets are not the same. We have very different skill sets, but they come together in symphony. And I think that's why we make such a great partnership and a great marriage too. But that's why we can work together as a married couple without conflict and arguments and stuff, because we are on the same page. We are working towards the things and we each bring our skill set to the table. We're not overstepping each other and micromanaging each other.
That's not to be said that we never conflict though.
Right. Realistic. We're realistic here.
Yeah. We're all people.
But it helps cut down on that conflict of interest. If you're overstepping each other and saying, oh, I think I know how to do the job you're doing better. I have no clue. You're way better at managing the company than I am. And I feel you would not be able to grow the plants that I grow. Yeah. And so for our partnership, we do our things so well separately.
I often tease Caleb. I don't know that he would always remember to come out and eat.
See? Exactly. That's what happens with us people who are obsessed. We just forget that we need food.
And water. We're like plants, really complicated ones.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Hey guys, Lydia here.
And Adam. As some of you may know, we co-own a online Hoya plant shop. Well, mostly Hoya. It's called The Green Plant. We're always so grateful that our passions have led us to have the ability to share some of our favorite genus with you.
We aim to have a restock at least 1 to 2 times a month and always post the most carefully and beautifully growing plants. And supporting us keeps our dream alive. And we love seeing the plants we have lovingly curated growing in your homes.
If you're in the United States and ever looking for new Hoya babes to add to your collection, just give us a browse at www.thegreenplantaz.com.
You can also follow us on Instagram at thegreenplant.az, where we always post restock alerts on our stories. And you can also sign up for our newsletter at the bottom of our shop website. And now, back to our episode.
What are some of the most like memorable things that have happened on Palm Street with you and your community? Like, do you have any funny stories that you remember or like, or touching or any?
We have a running joke. Caleb is, he loves his plants, right? So he has a really hard time letting go of some of them.
Aww.
So
that's sweet.
The customers call it Caleb's vault. And somewhere we joke that somewhere in the garage, there's a hidden wall that I can't see these plants live behind, because I will never know that they're there. And suddenly he comes out in the middle of a show and he's like, well, I wasn't going to sell this one, but I guess I'll show you guys.
Oh, that's funny.
So you're like the Taylor Swift of plants then. Bringing things out from the vault.
Something's going on. It's like I will have gone through the entire garage completely and suddenly he's got 9 more plants. I'm like, where did that even come from? It's just
part of my allure, you know.
Yeah, that's me with my partner's tequila bottles, because I'm like, why did you buy it? He doesn't drink a lot. It just tastes them, you know, but then there's a ton. And I'm like, why did you need another one?
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I am with bourbon.
Yeah.
Ooh, Blanton's. That's my fave.
Nice.
We have a lot of those little jokes with our customers and friends on Palm Street. And, you know, we've been lucky enough that some of our customers have been so generous as to be like, you know what? I've got these species that I want to see how you guys grow them. So they've sent us cuttings of their species that we don't have. And just because they want to see what they'll do in our care. And that's really cool to have that kind of connection with people that they want to see us, you know, grow stuff for them.
Even more so that they've reached out and wanted to give that a gratuity. Just here, I want you to have this to see how you'll grow it. I'm like, wait a minute. No, I can't take that from you. We'll work out a deal somehow. But I can't just take those from you, like 25 cuttings you want to give me.
Yeah.
That's such a generous offering. Really appreciate that. But at the same time, like, I can't take that from you and then turn around and try and make money out of that. I would feel awful.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. But I'm curious now, in any of your recent, you know, live shows, what was one of those Hoya, Caleb, that you may have taken out of the vault and kind of let go of?
There's been quite a few really beautiful undulat is one of my most favorite and hoard worthy plants.
Oh,
and so
but
I can't. I have like four beautiful mother plants and they produce a lot of really great cuttings and a lot of really beautiful plants. I always hang on to them until they're growing and I want to see what the new leaves look like. And that's the trickiest part, is when you start seeing those beautiful splashy sun-stress leaves coming out, you're like, okay, I want to keep them all. I can't let go of them.
Every time somebody asks for a Hoya Bahoy, I don't have one. I'm like, that is not true.
Well, I don't have one that I want to sell.
I'm kind
of a fiend for the Bahoys, the Ocaladas, Matrata. There's quite a few that I just have a difficult time letting go of.
So it sounds like, you know, the splash, the bigger leaf, a little bit of, you know, that waviness to the leaf. Like, those seem like are the ones that are your kryptonite.
He also hoards Minuta Flora and Carmelli and Tiny Leaf. He'll hoard just about anything.
I'm a Lacanosa fiend. Don't let me fool you. I love me some Lacanosas. I think maybe 25 different kinds right now, which is less than I used to have, but you know, we go up and down.
Yeah.
There's some plants that sometimes don't quite make it. They go up and they go down. And so our collection is ever changing.
What's one of your favorite lacs that you have right now?
Ooh, the louse is up there for sure. My Asami, really gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with the peregrine durian. I have a cute little pot of it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, they're so adorable, those tiny little leaves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just repotted my Peron, that one. I feel like I always say it wrong, but it is I just like rekindled my love for it when I repotted it, because I was like, you are so gorgeous, and it's like trailing so much now, but it's just one side and I'm nervous that it's just gonna like pull itself out of the pot.
We had one that was really luscious and full, and then it ran into some troubles and we had to do some cutting and repotting. And it's not a fast one. It doesn't take off really quickly from the cutting. So
I don't think it does. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like
they are so.
I'm sorry. The whole delay. I feel like
just too excited.
I feel like those are one of the Hoya. When I say that, they just like to fill out their roots before they start pushing out the foliage. And I feel like that might be one of them, because it does. Mine took forever to even like start growing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would agree with that too.
And it's one thing we're talking about in our live shows. We do a sale on Fridays, and then on Sundays we do a sale for the beginning part of the show, and then the second half of our show is always an educational topic of the week. And we were talking last week about, why isn't my plant not growing? And that was one of the things brought up, is that some species really need to have that ability to root out and get established in their pots before you're going to see that growth. And it doesn't mean something's wrong, but you got to check and make sure nothing's wrong too.
Yeah, I'm a strong advocate of that. Spill it out, see what's going on underneath there.
Same. Every time someone has a plant question, I'm like, uproot that. What do the roots look like? Just go for the roots.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like 80% of the time, that's where the problem is. So first and foremost, what's it rooted in? And has there been any changes in that environment?
Absolutely. So. Yeah, absolutely. And that's awesome that, you know, you all have a educational segment, which I feel like is also the fun of it, right? Because, I mean, clearly you're growing all these Hoya. They're growing beautifully and magnificently. And so being able to impart some of that knowledge to, you know, everyone who's chiming in, I think is super awesome. And, you know, you all have also built this amazing business. Is there any advice that you feel like you would give to new sellers or anything that you would have done differently as someone who's, you know, been doing this for a little bit while now?
I think it's important for new sellers to know that you do not have to grow, sell, you know, carry everything that everyone else does. I think it's, you know, find what you're passionate about and really focus on that. And don't try to emulate what somebody else's passion is, because you may not have the same growing conditions or resources or experience that they do that makes them successful. And if we all find a niche, I think we could make this really great community that feeds off and feeds each other with new knowledge, new species, things like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I would add to that, if we're all trying to sell the same species, competition becomes very fierce. Whereas if others do those jobs that they do so well, and you say, hey, you know what, no one's really taking on this segment of the market, we should really focus on this and put our focus of our business on affordable plants that start great and people really love having.
That was our method.
That was our technique and our method. And it's worked for us because I feel like there's a lot more people in that market than are the ones who want to buy the $2,500 per node extremely rare Hoyas. They're hard to find those buyers.
Like you said, there's so much variety with Hoya, right? That not everybody has to grow the same thing. And there is something beautiful about still maintaining like a part of like that collector mindset of grow what brings you joy, right? And I think that's like the big part of plants is they bring us joy. So even if you're a seller and, you know, you're growing plants ultimately to sell, I mean, that's still your collection. Those are still your babies until, you know, they go off to the next person. And so still having that joy and keeping that, I think, is definitely important. So,
Yeah, I agree. I have that to the effect that I even don't even want to release some of the ones I want to get. So it's to the point where I have to actually twist one arm to sell them.
That's why I'm here.
I like that. That's why I'm here. I'd be the same way. I'd be like, can we have an interview before I agree to sell this? Like when you adopt a pet, you're just like, I need to do a home visit to find out like what is going to be.
What's your watering schedule? You know, let me just make sure this fits into your.
Yeah. Can you please fill out this 8-page survey about your habits? Thank you.
When we see customers posting their Hoyas on their Instagrams later on, and watching the plants grow up, it is definitely like watching a pet that you adopted out or something like that. I'm like, oh, look.
Aww.
Yeah. You know? I remember these plants and I see our customers posting pictures 2 years down the road as their plants grown so huge. I'm like, look at that thing. It's so beautiful. I remember when it was 2 leaves and, you know, it's so cool to see.
I love that. You're like, you didn't die. You made it.
You did the best.
Well, that is so awesome. And, you know, as you continue to do what it is that you're doing, I'm sure that, you know, there's something or someone that continues to inspire you to be, you know, an owner of all these plants and all this business. And what is it that continues to keep you most inspired in your work?
I guess I would have to say it really is. It goes back to the community. The community that we've built inspires us to go forward, to bring new, interesting plants to them and to their collections. And, you know, like, I feel I don't want to let our people down, our friends down. I want to be able to bring them new and interesting species that they want to add to their collection. And I want them to be able to attend our shows and find something cool that they never knew existed or didn't know they wanted, but now they do. And I think that our passion for the plants that we grow and sell, hopefully that translates, hopefully that rubs off, and hopefully that brings them into, that's what keeps me inspired.
Yeah.
Keeping that mentality going.
I love learning, and I love when our customers come to us with a question and like, I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to go find it, you know, and then you can deep dive into all these crazy resources to learn about different parts of the history of Hoyas or species and how they've grown. And that really inspires me, is the curiosity that our customers bring, I think, to us.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Some fun questions here.
Oh, are we going to move into the fun
about
question?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. These are like my favorite questions, is to ask you all about like what your favorite plants are and like, what do you recommend and things like that. So the first one, right from the top, what is your favorite Hoya right now?
That's going to be a longstanding favorite for me.
Oh.
And I have many, many at the top of the list, but the one that's always number one is going to be Undulata.
No surprises there.
I'm obsessed with Prichai right now. Yeah. I'm obsessed. I'm in a dark phase. So anything that kind of gets that sun stress, dark margin.
Yeah.
I'm pretty obsessed with currently.
So many beauties in that category for sure.
Ooh, I have a silver lacanosa that gets a dark margin, and I'm obsessed with that one because of the dark margin. So I get it. Undulata. So a little bit more about that one. When you first, before you were like, we're really into Hoya. Cause I got one when I was like, it was one of my first Hoya-ish, like first in the like, whatever. I didn't feel like I was a Hoya master at any point, but I thought it was going to be difficult. And I was very surprised at how not difficult they are. Like I'm not saying they're not difficult, but they're hardier than I thought they were going to be. Do you feel that same way?
I do, to a point. I would say that getting them started can be a little bit tricky. And I think that's where a lot of people's experience comes in, where they say, I've killed four of them. I tried so many times. I can never get this one to succeed. I think a lot of times people are shell-shocked by how much they've spent on them and had them not succeed as a cutting. And as a rooted plant, I find them to be very stable and very easy. But it's that hump that you have of getting them rooted. Mm. If you get a rooted, I think they're great and super easy to grow. I think they root really nicely, actually, once they're going. But it's that initial point where you take that cutting. If you put that in the mail and send it out to someone, by the time it gets to them, it's so dehydrated, I find they just don't come back. So it's a really tricky one to get started as a cutting, in my opinion. Once it's rooted, I find them to be great plants.
Something that comes up a lot in our shows, because we love Undulata. We tend to sell a lot of them. So people always come to us and they're like, this seems so difficult. I've killed two, or I don't, everyone says this is a really hard Hoya to get. And we always tell people like, you don't got to buy it from us, but you need to buy it rooted. If it's your first time growing Undulata, I think it makes all the difference to have a rooted plant, and the experience you grow it with will be different than trying a very newly rooted cutting or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So pro tip, and from us, you know, get you a rooted Undulata from Schlieff Tropicals. That sounds like it's the way to go.
Yeah.
I can talk to you about letting go of any more of them.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so you all have a lot of those, you know, like great hardy Hoya for our Hoya heads out there. But what do you feel like would be like the number one Hoya that you would recommend for a beginner?
We love recommending fungi for beginners.
Oh,
It's a fast flower.
Yeah.
And it is one you're not going to find at the big box stores. So you feel like you're getting a really cool, unique Hoya when you're new into Hoyas. But yeah, it's definitely one of our favorites to recommend for beginners.
Yeah. The clone that we grow has got these big, brown, beautiful leaves. They're pubescent on the backs.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it touches that, that's it. Yeah. They want it.
Yeah.
Down that slippery slope of pubescent Hoyas.
Exactly.
And then from there, it just continues. Yeah, and then you got to get more and more. Yeah. And then...
Well, then they realize how many there are. It's just, it's awesome. It's such a great thing to discover. You know, suddenly you're like, I had no idea there were any fuzzy plants. And now I know 25 of them.
Yeah.
Now you're telling me I need all 25?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
I want to hear this next question. I want to hear an answer from both of you on, because Nicole, at the beginning, at the top of the episode, you kind of said you didn't have a green thumb. And we know Caleb does. So this is, what is the best piece of plant care advice that you've ever received? So one coming from an experienced plant grower and one coming from someone who self-proclaimed not a green thumb.
So really early on when we started watching YouTube videos, we came across Sean at Only Plants. I'm sure you guys have seen him
Indonesia,
as well.
Yeah.
A great, cool guy to watch on TV. But he gave a piece of advice that has always stuck with me. And that was that your plants shouldn't control you. You control your plants. And the way you do that and make them happy in your environment is by just adjusting the ratios of your soil so that it can meet the needs you have for watering or, you know, humidity in your environment or whatnot. So once I was able to grasp that I could just take these couple of ingredients in a soil media and make them change how quickly or slowly a plant took up water, that changed how I was able to grow. For sure. That made me be able to grow calatheas and alocasias and then into Hoyas on my own without Caleb's help. a lot different. Sure. So I think that that's one thing we always try to get people to understand is that you can grow any plant in your environment, I think, if you know what it needs originally and how you can replicate that to meet your needs in your home.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so nerdy and I love it. Like, you're just like, oh, I just have to have the right recipe. Like, yes. And that is so, like, that everyone should know that. I think
that's
beautiful.
But it's a great piece of advice because, you know, once you start collecting and you get so many plants in your collection, if you're so focused on what do I have to do to make every single plant happy, it can get overwhelming. And I feel like we've all been in those spaces before when something that is supposed to bring us like this immense amount of joy, all of a sudden you're just like scrambling to keep up with everything. And, you know, I feel like even us over here, like we've gotten to a point to realize, okay, we can still enjoy these plants, but we can find a way for this to work for us. And the plants are going to be fine, especially with Hoya, because I feel like they're so sturdy and they can really withstand a beating, right? Most of them. And so, yeah, definitely, definitely agree with that.
A lot of new growers are like, what's the right way to grow Hoya? Should I grow them in? Should I grow them in fluval? Should I grow them in soil? And I'm like, the right way to grow Hoya is the way that makes it fit into your life seamlessly. So whatever media makes that happen for you is the right way to grow Hoya.
They want us to tell them how they should grow their Hoyas. And we're saying you should tell you how to grow your Hoyas based on your situation.
Yeah.
Question is along the same lines, similar lines anyways, but better to underwater your plants than to overwater your plants. I myself am a chronic overwaterer and always have been. I love my plants and sometimes I overlove my plants. But if you grow variegated monsteras and Hoyas and calatheas and cacti and other things, you will quickly learn too much is too much and you will kill those plants. So I learned a lot of those lessons the hard way, and I learned that these plants can take a lot less water than they can too much water.
That's true. Yeah.
We've proven it out here in Arizona.
Yeah. And if they're still alive in Arizona, that's telling you something, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, I really love that. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah. Those are like star advice right there.
Yep. From the pros. Okay, this next one is one of my favorite questions because it's so different for everybody. But the most underrated or lesser known Hoya that you feel like every Hoya head should know about.
This is a thing in our little plant community on Palm Street. we are huge fans of Hoya viola. Yeah. I think it's such an underrated Hoya that people just don't talk about and has all the great Hoya things, the veins, and it sun stresses and it grows fast and whatnot, to the point that we now have on our little plant shows what we call the Hoya or the Hoya Viola fan club.
Yeah.
So I love that.
T-shirts printed for it. Everybody fan, a part of the, like, when they buy a viola now, they're like, I'm in the club. So yeah, we're big fans of Hoya Viola as the underrated plant that should get more attention.
We strongly agree for them because they're just so cool and beautiful, unique leaf shape. They get splashed, they get veins, they get a variety of different growth colors. You can grow them rich, dark green in the lower light, or chlorotic yellow in the bright light, or sun stress in the super bright light. It's just so, like you said, underrated. We find them to be so cool, but nobody talks about how cool they are.
I do love them too. I love viola. Now, pubescent on the backside of that one. Why do I feel like mine feels a little fuzzy on the backside? But I could be. I don't know.
I don't think ours is.
I don't think ours is.
It's copper.
Yeah.
I wish I had my Go-Go Gadget arms because I'm looking at mine on the shelf and I'm like, I just need to touch the backside of it. But
it's yours. I need a cutting of that.
Special. I have a special hairy one. Woo! That's the that mutation I want to see. I want more hair. Everything just needs to be fuzzy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm into it.
Alrighty. So next question, I feel like is kind of a big one that's been up and coming for, you know, the last couple of years, is more people recognizing that we as collectors, especially for like Hoya collectors, because the species has, I feel like, just exploded in popularity. There's big talks about, you know, the biodiversity and preserving the plant species, especially in situ where a lot of them are going extinct and we're not finding them anymore. And so, you know, I'm interested to hear from you guys as, you know, a local nursery and, you know, Hoya growers, like, how do you feel like places like yours promote biodiversity or even preserving like those rare plant species?
I think it's both by helping people be introduced to the species and helping them see the value in this thing they may never have heard of before, and therefore feeling that value and wanting to protect the areas that these came from originally, and also offering them access to it here in the U.S. We don't, you know, as growers, we've chosen not to import plants from native areas because we feel it's more responsible with the access we have here in the U.S. that we can get most of these plants here to just, you know, trade with collectors nationwide to really, you know, keep these circulating without having to put pressure on the original origin countries so that they don't feel the need to go out and harvest these from the wild. But still be able to offer things that people are find interesting, like by either really, you know, narrowing down a feature on a Hoya to get new hybrids or new clones. I love seeing in our community all the different seeds that are going around nowadays and different clones that people are offering. That's like, that's something you have access to in the wild. If we can get people really excited about those things, then maybe that pressure on their native countries would lessen a little bit.
Yeah. And that really leads to the whole idea that we don't want what we're doing to take away from native flora and fauna. We want this to add, not take away. So if people are seeing value in these plants and then running to the jungle to harvest them, that we see that as problematic. And we want to be able to offer things and bring things to market that are not under pressure like that, and that it's not coming from those source origins that are under pressure like that.
Absolutely. And I love that. And I love, you know, that you're trying to alleviate a lot of like those issues that are currently happening, because they definitely are, you know, rampant. We did an episode with Fraser Cook where, you know, that's kind of his passion project and his PhD, you know, project that he's working on. And it's always wild to think that, you know, we're just doing this because it's a hobby and it's fun, but it has such a huge impact. And, you know, for us as like a community collectively to recognize that and do the best that we can for, you know, Mother Nature, but still being able to enjoy it, I think is really important. So it's awesome that, you know, you all are also focusing on that and, you know, doing all that we can to, you know, help Mother Earth.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and award you guys nature superstar status. And that's a very prestigious award created and funded by me for people who take the mindfulness of reducing, reusing, and recycling and and caring about Mother Nature. Yeah. You're welcome. You don't need to worry about any more awards in your life because you got this one.
Yeah. Oh, well, we just absolutely love what you all are doing and are super excited for you, you know, for what's to continue to come down the line for you, especially, you know, at Palm Street. And we want more people to find you and get amazing Hoya from you. And so would love to know, when is the next live show that people can find on Palm Street?
So you guys can join us every Friday at 3:30 Eastern. So October 25th will be our next show. And then we're also on every Sunday morning at 9:30. We're on Eastern time. Our 9:30 shows are the ones that we do our live topic that changes every week. And our Friday shows are our all Hoya sales. But we'd love for people to join either one of our shows to get to know us a little bit better, meet all the friends we've made in the community, and hopefully join in.
Wait, does your little community, do we have a name for them? You know, like Swifties or whatever.
We haven't even talked.
I'm gonna have to ask them to name themselves.
Yeah, I feel like you guys, because it sounds like you guys have established like a pretty great little core, and I think that's just like a really sweet thing.
That's a great idea.
I already know a couple of people who will probably have great ideas.
Perfect.
That is awesome. So, okay, awesome. So everybody knows where to find you on Palm Street and what days to join, and definitely should check you guys out. But what else are you guys most excited about the future?
Well, recently we've been bringing some new products to market. We mentioned earlier about the Viola Club. We're going to be working on getting some merchandise to the market. That's a new element of things that we're bringing out. We've recently launched some trellises and other plant accessories, some soil. So some new elements of things non-plant related that they're plant related, but non-plant that we're adding to the roster.
Items that we hope help our customers grow the plants easier, faster, have them have the success that we want them to have.
Yeah. Plus just lots of new species, as many new species as we can we can bring to the customers who've been faithful and loyal to us. We want to be able to create a great experience for them as well.
Oh, super exciting. Would you be able to give us a teaser on one of those new species?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, you know what? I have a really beautiful Cebu City.
Oh, Cebu City. Beautiful.
Yeah, those things are so cool. And they're pubescent, so it's got a lot of those characteristics.
You tell what he's focused on these days.
Yeah.
Small pubescent leaves.
Okay.
That is also kind of what I'm obsessed with this year, are the small pubescent leaves. So I see where you're going. Okay. I love it.
Fantastic.
Well, Caleb and Nicole, we would love for our listeners to, you know, follow you all and continue to get plants from you guys and more plant knowledge. And so where are all the spaces that people can find you?
You can find us on Instagram and Facebook. We're at Schlieff Tropicals. Our website is schlieftropicals.com, but we'd love for you to follow us on Palm Street as well under Schlieff Tropicals and join in on all of our fun Hoya chats.
Yeah. Come pay us a visit on one of our shows and
tell us you came
shout
from
out your
Talk
question. Or, yeah. Tell us where you heard about us.
Yeah, because you know we call our Patreon Peduncle Pals. So if we send people your way, they can just call themselves a Peduncle Pal.
Aww. Awesome.
So would you guys say that you focus a lot more of your energy just towards the Palm Street channel? Because I know I love the branding everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, but Palm Street is like where you guys focus your energy for your socials.
It is. Right now, it has been, you know, the way we reach our customers and have the best relationships with them. So I think that Palm Street has really helped facilitate that. So that's the best place to contact us, probably.
Well, we hope, you know, you see some of our listeners hop on over and become part of your community.
Yes. Don't forget to follow Schlieff Tropicals over on Palm Street. That's their avenue, but also hit them up on Instagram. You can follow our show on Instagram. We are at let's.talkhoya. And you can also follow your hosts individually. I am at NotDude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at Burritos y Plants. Adios.
Annyeong.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.